This is Pastor Mike Hoggard coming to you from Studio 66 with another watch. This is like Route 66, right? 66 books of the Bible. Not 6666. Okay, not that one. Even though we're going to talk about that number in the number of the rapture. I had talked about this when we were doing our series on the translation of the church, and I spent a lot of time going into a lot of detail concerning the translation, concerning events surrounding the translation of the church, both after and before, because there are events foretold in Scripture that happen before Christ gathers His elect, us, to be with Him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I mentioned that there was a number, that's actually a couple of numbers, that I think are associated with the translation of the church. And so I felt led of the Lord to go ahead and do that, to talk about that, to talk about that particular number, how the patterns keep revealing themselves in the Scripture, and a little bit about what I think it means, all right? Which could be interesting. We'll see how it goes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now notice in this passage of Scripture here that you have not just Paul saying, okay, there's going to be a rapture, but he delineates here several things that are going to happen at the time of the rapture. So I decided one day to count the things that were in that list. Number one, with a shout. Number two, with the voice of the archangel. Number three, with the trump of God. Number four, "And the dead in Christ shall rise first." Number five, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So, and I've mentioned this about every time I talk about 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, I go, you know, with a shout, the voice, I always count it out because I think that number is significant. God speaks in order. And those of you who study and read the King James Bible, you know that there is a rhythm to it, a rhythm to what God says, to how God speaks. There is an order to it. There are patterns of order that God expresses in His Word, because I believe God is a God of order. There is order in the universe. There are patterns. There are repetitions in the universe, talking about the cycles and so on. We have a cycle of sleep. We have a cycle of night and day. We have a cycle of weeks. We have a cycle of months, cycle of years. And so everything in the universe goes in cycles, including you see things in the Word of God that are repeated over and over in certain patterns. So, two places in the Bible says at the mouth of two witnesses or three, let every word be established. We noted that there were two types of people in the Bible that were translated from earth to heaven without seeing death. That would be Enoch and Elijah. We also have two passages of Scripture that really just spell out exactly what is going to happen when the Lord appears in the air and He translates an entire generation of people who have not died yet. He's going to transform them into heaven, into a new spiritual body without ever seeing death, like those who have died before. So we have 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and then we have 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So I went to 1 Corinthians 15 to see if the pattern of the number 5 was replicated here. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." Some of you may have caught on to it already. "For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So let's break this down. So when he says, "I show you a mystery, behold, we shall not all sleep," that's number one. Number two, "but we shall all be changed." Number three, "in a moment." Number four, "in the twinkling of an eye." And number five, "at the last trump." So again, this pattern of five things listed in conjunction and in coordination with the translation of the church, replicated both in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 and 17, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Coincidentally, but I don't think accidentally. We noted in our study of the translation that it is associated with the revelation of a mystery. 22 times the word mystery is used in the King James Bible. Mysteries, I think, is another 5 times, I believe. Never thought about that. But anyway, and every time you have the word mystery, you have the Bible revealing to you what this mystery is. And that's what he says in 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Again, the word mystery in the Bible, this is the 5th occurrence of the word mystery. So if you are looking through all the places in the King James Bible, use our Pure Bible Search software, purebiblesearch.com. Download a free copy for Linux, for Mac, for Windows. It'll work. And you type in the word mystery in the search bar, and it'll give you all the places in the Bible, starting with the very first one, and you can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it will take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep. So there are patterns in the Bible of the number 5 relating to the rapture. We have 2 of them so far. Actually, we have 3 of them at the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. Let every word be established. Including the use of numbers in the Bible to gain wisdom. When I felt led to study numbers, I pulled back a little bit from God. I said, God, that's bad. That's numerology. That's like Satan worship and stuff. God showed me 2 places in the Bible, 2 witnesses, both of them associated with the same number, 1 Old Testament, 1 New Testament, that says wisdom comes from counting. Revelation 13, 18, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, which happens to be the 666th chapter of the Bible. I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom, the reason of things, and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. He says, I'm looking for wisdom. And so in verse 27, he says, behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account. So again, 2 verses in the Bible, 1 Old Testament, 1 New Testament, associated with the same number, 666, both of them telling us that wisdom and understanding comes from counting things. Counting things like patterns of number 4. I talk about that a lot. Right now I'm dealing with this issue of the Las Vegas shooter. There are patterns that I recognize. I recognize them from the Bible. I also recognize them from other events that have taken place. And I think that there is a very deep spiritual connection with this shooting. There's no doubt in my mind. So I think the numbers mean something. Can they be taken to an extreme? Absolutely. But likewise, others take them too lightly. So there is always, I think, a very well-balanced middle ground. They have to be simple. They have to be obvious. They have to be easily replicated. You don't need some special software in order to do it, even though our software is designed to do it and to do it very well. Anybody with a little patience, maybe you want to use a concordance of every word in the Bible, maybe you'd rather have a hard copy instead of using software, and I understand that, that's fine. But to just look at 1 Corinthians 15, 51, or look into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, and just look at the plain text and say, yeah, there's one thing, there's second thing, there's a third thing, fourth thing, fifth thing. That's very simple to do. And we're talking about just regular, ordinary numbers. 5, the number 7, the number 6. Not 1/5 point, 28999, and that could equal this. And it doesn't get complicated with me because I'm not really a mathematician guy. I've met people that just astounded me, but I'm just a simple guy. And I think the most profound things in the Bible are the things that appear to be the simplest things in the world. So as I'm studying Numbers years ago, I kept seeing a pattern in the Bible of a particular number, the number 5, and how it was associated with the rapture or the translation of the church. So I started looking around then to see if the two types that we have in the Bible of Enoch and Elijah, to see if their translation was associated with that exact same number. It was associated with the number 5. So, in order for us to understand why the rapture is associated with this particular number, let's go back and let's do a study of this number to find out what the Bible says this number means, what it represents, what it shows, so that we can have wisdom and understanding about why the translation or the rapture is associated with the number 5. Let's go back to the first chapter of the Bible, the creation of the world, because God establishes His order and His pattern, the very first thing that He does in the creation week. We even know that the Sabbath day, that people, you know, send the commandments, thou, you know, honor the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou do all thy labor and work. The seventh day ye shall rest. Why? Because God did it in the creation week. So there is an order that God establishes in the creation week. And there's something interesting that He did on day 5 of creation. Let's look and see what the Bible says. Genesis chapter 1 verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales. Now, here's what I want you to do. Can you think of a story where, now I don't get ahead of me now, where whales show up? Okay, just hang on to it. We'll get to it in a little bit. God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Let's note that in the King James Bible, whales are mentioned 4 times, Matthew 12:40, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And then one time, Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, he calls it a great fish. Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. So whales are mentioned 4 times in the Bible. A great fish 1 time, that is 5 times. It's associated with it. And I want you to understand this. What was the symbolism of Jonah being in the whale's belly? When Jesus said, that's how the Son of Man's going to be. He's going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. What had happened to Jesus in order to spend 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth? He died. When Jonah was in the whale's belly, the great fish, 3 days and 3 nights, according to the book of Jonah, chapter 2, where did he say that he was? In the belly of hell. So now the Bible is establishing something here. It's teaching you something. Jesus died, went into the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. We know that he preached to spirits in prison, according to what Peter said. But the idea of the number 5 relating to death, swallowing up Jonah, death swallowing up Jesus Christ, and there's something about death that gets swallowed up. I mentioned Jonah being in hell, Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. So we notice that Jonah said he was in the belly of hell 3 days. If you study the word hell in the Bible, you'll note that it's always associated with, who goes to hell? People that are alive? No. People that died. So we're going to see how, and this is just one thing that we're using, and we're going to bring in a lot more, trust me. We're going to see that the number five is related to death. Now, several years ago, somebody challenged me because I was looking at, I could only see that the number five was related to the rapture. Somebody said, Pastor, I think the number five is related to the death. And I went, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm the expert here. But you know what I did? I went back to the scriptures. You know what I found? They were right. And you may leave a question in your mind. Okay, Pastor, you're saying that the number five is related to the rapture. Well, that's life and how we're all going to heaven without dying, right? How can it be related to death? Oh, trust me. It is. Okay? And to me, that makes all that much more sense when we understand what the rapture really is all about. Some say, well, it's God saving the church from having to go through this and that and the other. Okay, that could be, but I think it has a deeper meaning. Again, instead of just studying what happens, let's study why they happen. Because we get into the mind of God, we start to understand Him a little bit better. We start to understand how He works. So we've looked at the day of creation, the fifth day of creation. He created great whales. We know that that's associated with swallowing up Jonah. And there's something else that gets swallowed up. I want you to think about it. Think Bible here for a minute. And Jesus being swallowed up in the heart of the earth, and He spends 3 days and three nights down there. Okay, so He died on the cross. And that's where He is. So now let's go to the second place I always look to find out what the number means. I go to that particular Genesis chapter. Now sometimes it just hits me, obviously sometimes it doesn't. And I had to think about this, but I noticed that there was a running pattern all throughout Genesis chapter 5. Let's look at it. Genesis chapter 5 verse 1. This is the book. The generations of Adam, I have his name underlined. And the day that God created man in the likeness of God made him, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. That's the second time he's mentioned. And the day when they were created. And Adam, that's the third time he's mentioned, lived 130 years and begat a son in his likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, that's the fourth time he's mentioned, after he had begotten Seth were 800 years. And he begat sons and daughters, and all the days that Adam, it's the fifth time he's mentioned, lived were 930 years, and he died. So to me this, and you're not going to find Adam mentioned anymore in Genesis chapter 5. He's mentioned later on, but not anymore in Genesis 5. He's mentioned exactly five times in the fifth chapter of the Bible, and the fifth time he's mentioned, he died. So let's see if that pattern is repeated. It says that Adam begat a son in his likeness. He begat Seth. So let's look at Seth. Genesis 5 verse 3. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. In the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years and he begat sons and daughters. Verse 5, Seth is not mentioned. Verse 6, he is. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. So the pattern is replicated. Notice we have Seth, 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 and he died. So Adam mentioned five times, and he died. Seth is mentioned five times, and he died. Enos, let's look at a list here. Enos mentioned five times, and he died. Canaan mentioned five times, and he died. Mahalalel. Five times, and he died. Jared is mentioned five times, and he died. Enoch, God took him. Methuselah, mentioned five times, and he dies. Lamech, mentioned five times, and he dies. The pattern stops at Enoch. It picks back up with Methuselah and Lamech. If you keep going, it stops again with Noah. Because the fifth time Noah's mentioned, you know what it says? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And was Noah saved when everybody else died? Yeah. Enoch was not, for God took him. But we have this overwhelming pattern in the fifth chapter of the Bible that as these people are mentioned, they're mentioned five times, and the fifth time they're mentioned, they died. So there's no doubt that I believe now that God is establishing this pattern that every five times these people die, the number five is a reference to death. Now, you can go elsewhere in the Bible and say, well, I looked at the fifth time Moses mentioned, he doesn't die. I looked at the fifth time David's mentioned, he doesn't die. I get that. Not every place in the Bible exhibits this pattern, but in Genesis chapter 5, if they're mentioned five times, they died, and there are only two exceptions, Enoch and Noah. And incidentally, but not accidentally, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. So let's look at Enoch. Genesis chapter 5, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So, now we have a pattern. We have a pattern of the number 5 associated with death. There's more to that that I'm going to show you, because when we associate 5 with death, we're also going to see how the number 5 shows us God's victory over death. All right? I like this. Okay? Anyway, so we have our first type. A man who walked this earth, went from earth to heaven without dying. His name is Enoch. And he escapes this world and goes to heaven without dying. And he's mentioned in Genesis chapter 5. By the way, I never really did this before, but he lived 365 years. The days of his life are divisible by the number 5, the years of his life. Okay? The only other time Enoch is ever mentioned in the Bible is all the way over in the book of Hebrews. And it just happens to be verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let me also point out that the words translate, translated, and translation, all the forms of the word translate that you're going to find in the King James Bible, you will find exactly 5 times. So we have Enoch. 2 places in the Bible he's mentioned. Both times he's mentioned, he's associated with the number 5. So he's our first type of people who lived on this earth, walked on this earth, and yet managed to make it into heaven without seeing death, without tasting death. And he is associated repeatedly with the number 5. We also mention Noah in this same chapter. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the fifth time he's mentioned. He breaks the pattern as well. So let's look at the life and the mentionings of Noah in the Bible. See him also related to the number 5. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. Here it is. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. That is when the flood started. So in Genesis chapter 7, verse 21, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. Let's count this. Fowls, number one, cattle, number two, beasts, number three, and every creeping thing, number four, and every man, number five. In all whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died. So let me stop right here. So, fifth time Noah's name's mentioned, he finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. So we know that he's going to escape death. When we look in Genesis 7:11, we note the exact date that the flood waters began to come down on the earth, the 17th day of the second month. And we note that, let's count this again, fowl, cattle, beast, every creeping thing, and every man, those five things, they all died in the flood waters. Okay? Very important to note. Now let's go back to the scriptures. Genesis 7. The waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. In Genesis 8, verse 4, the ark rested on the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. So we see that from the moment it began to rain to the exact day that the floodwaters stopped going upward and started going back down is 150 days. And we look at the months. The second month, the 17th day of the month, is when it started. The seventh month on the 17th day of the month is when it stopped and the waters started going back down. That is exactly 5 months. Exactly. Think about it. As it was in the days of Noah. Noah's mentioned five times, but he finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. Five types of living creatures on the earth whose nostrils have the breath of life in them, they all died, and it takes a period of exactly 5 months. 150 days from the 17th day of the second month to the 17th day of the seventh month. There's a pattern, a repeated pattern here in your King James Bible. There is another pattern associated with Noah. Did you ever notice that in the Old Testament, written in Hebrew, of course, his name is in as the English version of his name is N-O-A-H, Noah. Okay? In some, not all, of the New Testament passages, his name is spelt sort of the Greek version of his name. It's N-O-E. That's how the translators transliterated his name. Like in Matthew 24:37, but as the days of Noe were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Did you know that you'll find, if you'll look in the King James Bible, his name, N-O-E, is mentioned exactly five times that way. Look it up. Use a concordance. Go to blueletterbible.org. Okay? If you don't trust me, if you don't trust our software, use theirs. And count individually every time you find the word Noe, N-O-E, spelled that way in the King James Bible. You're going to find it exactly five. Not six, not four, not any other number. It's put that way five times. And practically every one of them say, as it was in the days of Noe. Then by the time you get to Peter, like in 1 Peter, he mentions Noah, but he spells it N-O-A-H. Interesting. To me, it speaks as being a testimony to the overall pattern of the number five being associated with the translation or the rapture. Let's look at the fifth book of the Bible. So we have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. This is called the Pentateuch. Penta meaning five, like in the word Pentecost, means 50 days. We're going to look at that also as part of this pattern. Because what did they hear on the day of Pentecost? A rushing mighty wind. Okay? How did Elijah get into heaven? Okay? Anyway, let's look at this fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 34. The Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. Notice that the words that the Lord said unto Moses here are exactly 39 words. And then look at verse 5 of Deuteronomy 34. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. You remember Adam? Through my pen here, I'm getting excited. Remember Adam here, and we remember when Adam died. It's a very sad day. Adam died in Genesis 5, being mentioned five times, and he died in verse 5 of chapter 5. Moses dies in the fifth book of the Bible, at the very end of it, in verse 5. Now, look back at these verses. There's another little neat thing here that I have. Notice that the underlined word, Deuteronomy 34, verse 4, I have these words underlined that God said to Moses, and they are 39 words. Let me tell you what I think that means. Moses and the typology of Moses and Joshua. Moses being a type of the law, the lawgiver. The law cannot take you into the promised land, which would be heaven. The law can't do it. Moses cannot lead the people into the promised land. He can get them there to see it. And we see the foreshadowing of Canaan land in the Old Testament. And 39 words, 39 books in the Old Testament. That's the law. And the law cannot save anybody. You cannot be saved by keeping the law. So in these 39 words that God speaks, it's sort of like the 39 books of the Old Testament. They cannot save you. All they can do is tell you everything you did wrong. Only the New Testament and what's in here can lead you into the promised land. Moses can only show you the promised land. Joshua is the one who gets to lead you in. Joshua is Jesus Christ, who gives a new law with new commandments, with a better covenant based upon better blood, by a better high priest, with a better lamb sacrifice. I mean, you get it, okay? Let me show you another one of those patterns of the number 39. Remember the law that God gave to Adam? Because as in Adam, all die. God gave a law to Adam. And in your King James Bible, the Bible says in Genesis 2, verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Do you know that the exact words that God spoke to Adam in Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17 are exactly 39 words? The law. He gave Adam the prototype of the law. He gave him the commandment. All he told him was what he couldn't do. Okay? But Adam did it anyway. He broke the law. Therefore, he needs a better commandment to overcome this commandment. Okay? And that's the law of liberty versus the law of sin and what? Death. Okay, so think about it. Adam dies in the fifth chapter of the Bible, the fifth verse of the Bible. Moses dies in the fifth book of the Bible, being the lawgiver, in the fifth verse of the Bible, after God saying 39 words to him, you can't go into the promised land. Okay, so let's look at what Paul said about it. Romans chapter 5. We're going to see death in the number 5, and we're going to see how Christ overcomes that. By the way, let me point this out. How many times did they pierce Jesus when he was on the cross? Think about it. 1, 2, I'm not going to put my feet up on the desk here. 4, 3, 4, once in the ribs, in the side. 5 times. And then what happened to him? He gave up the ghost, and he died. Okay? Let's watch this. Romans chapter 5, verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Stop right here. death reigned from, isn't it interesting that Paul mentions Adam and Moses? Death reigned from Adam to Moses. Adam, chapter 5, verse 5, mentioned five times and he dies. Moses, five books of the law, the Pentateuch, the fifth book, Moses dies in the fifth verse, God giving him a 39-word commandment saying, you can't go into the promised land. So death reigns. Death is king. Death is Lord. Death cannot be, his commandments cannot be broken, in other words. You are going to die. There's no doubt about it. And I don't know if Paul was aware of what the Holy Ghost was saying through him, but the pattern of the number five just jumps out to me. Death reigned from Adam, 5, to Moses, 5. Even after them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. We have the first Adam and the second Adam. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For through the offense of one, many be dead. Speaking of the first Adam. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. I love this. Romans 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And this beautiful. You have this picture here of Adam. You have this picture of Moses. Both of them associated with the number five. Both of them, because they broke God's... Why couldn't Moses go into the promised land? Because God specifically told Moses on the second deal that he had with the rock, speak to the rock. Moses was angry. He didn't speak to the rock. He beat it. Just like he did the first one. He disobeyed God's commands. Now he can't go to the promised land. Listen, to all of you who are trying to be lured in to the Hebrew roots, Jewish way, Torah keeping, you cannot keep the law. Not the way God requires it, you can't. You can say all you want to, well, we keep a lot of it. Did you know that God specifically said, look at it in Deuteronomy 28, it's all or it's nothing. If you don't keep all of my statutes, judgments, and commandments, then these curses are going to overtake you. You go look at it. God requires, if you're going to keep the law, God requires that you keep all of the law and not disobey one time. If you disobey one time, you have broken not just a piece of the law, you have broken the law. And so there is no salvation at Mount Sinai. You follow Moses. And I hear people say, well, I would rather follow the one who spoke to God face to face than the apostle Paul who only heard his voice. I hear them say that. You're going to follow the one who God specifically said to his face, not even you can go into the promised land. You're following the one who cannot lead you into God's heaven. Follow the one, Jesus Christ, who is both Lord of lords and King of kings. His covenant that he offers is not a covenant of works. It's a covenant of grace. And you might say, well, how many of the laws can you break? I don't know. How many are there? Because we break quite a bit of them, don't we? It doesn't matter. Grace covers it all. All right? So, in this pattern of the number five, showing death, Adam and Moses represent death. Number five. Christ then gives us victory over death. Now we're getting into this idea of the rapture. Because what is the translation? It is for us who have not, it is, let me say it this way. It is for those who already have died. It is victory over the death that consumed them. For those of us who haven't died when the Lord appears, it's victory from death, and we will never die. Either way, death. Remember how Jonah, a great fish, swallowed up Jonah? That same, I see, I've been using that on purpose, and you probably have made the connection already, but let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15 and see it. Let's see it now, related to this number 5, what happens to death because of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. There's our 5 pattern there. For the trumpet shall... And let me stop right here. So now are you starting to see this? In the Old Testament, when the pattern of 5 shows up, it's death. In the New Testament, when the pattern of 5 shows up, it's victory over death. Isn't it beautiful? Okay? I had to get this out. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is what? Swallowed up in victory. Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. So isn't this beautiful? You have verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Death is swallowed up in victory. You have a great fish swallowing up Jonah. Now we have death being swallowed up in victory. I want you to think of who has the power over death. It's the Satan. It's the serpent. Do you remember when Moses and Aaron were talking to Pharaoh in Exodus 7 about, let my people go? You remember God gave Moses at the burning bush, he gave him a sign. Moses, you know, put your rod on the ground. He put his rod on the ground. It turned to a serpent. Now Moses picked it up by the tail, and he picked it up by the tail, and it became a rod again. And God said, take that over there to Pharaoh. Show him that, okay? Watch this. The language, the beauty of the language of the King James Bible. You're reading Aramaic, Hebrew, and Greek, 3 unknown tongues, now interpreted by one, and doing it in such a beautiful fashion is that you see the connection that God has embedded all through the scriptures. You see word phrases that match one another, and you're just going, it's absolutely amazing. I don't know if you ever saw, I heard this story, read it I don't know how many times in Sunday school class, and never caught it. I was reading it one day, and tears came down my eyes when I saw this. Let me show it to you. Moses and Aaron went in unto, this is Exodus chapter 7, verse 10. Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Do you see that? Do you know who Aaron's rod is? Aaron's rod is Jesus Christ. He is the rod, the stem of Jesse, the root of David. All right? And he becomes a serpent. Why? Because Jesus becomes sin for us who knew no sin. And he became in the form and fashion of our enemies, which is the serpent, because he has power over death. And he takes that and puts it to his cross, nails it to his cross. The serpent is nailed to the cross. So then, Aaron's rod can swallow up all of the other enemies' rods that become serpents. Death is swallowed up in victory. That's your King James Bible for you right there. All right. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 spells it out. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. You get it? Aaron's rod is Christ. Pharaoh's sorcerer's rods is Satan and all of his devils, and he has the power of death. Oh yeah, Satan can do this too, right? But Aaron's rod goes and swallows up all of the other serpents and says, so that when Christ died, they all died with him. Isn't that beautiful? By the way, the name Satan, S-A-T-A-N, S-A-T-A-N. I don't count letters and names much. I don't. That's interesting. I'm not saying it's something significant, because because the spelling has changed in the various versions of the King James since 1611, I don't count letters much. But this one to me is interesting, S-A-T-A-N. But his name, Satan, is mentioned exactly 55 times in the King James Bible. Isaiah 14 now starts to make a little sense. And I want you to think along this line. Because if God has a plan of transforming man so that he goes from death to life, goes from this world to heaven without even seeing death, I promise you the devil has got a scheme as well that is going to be a corrupted version of that. A transformation of himself. Remember what Paul said. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Isaiah 14 gives us a number associated with that. Isaiah 14, 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? Verse 13, God looks in the heart of Lucifer, Satan, and he says, for thou said in thine heart. Now I want you to look at this next graphic here. Remember, Satan is mentioned 55 times in the King James Bible. And we have his plan here. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Number 4, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Number 5, I will be like the Most High. Notice the pentagram. It has how many points? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It represents Satan, who has his 5 points of his plan, the 5 I wills that Satan says, his name being mentioned 55 times in the King James Bible. Look it up. BlueLetterBible.org, get you a Strong's Concordance. Get the PureBibleSearch.com software, because if you type in just the word Satan, it'll tell you 55 times exactly Satan. Now there's like a 56th form of it where it's Satan apostrophe S, something that belongs to Satan, but just Satan's name 55 times in the King James Bible. Why? Because he has power over death. Number 5. Okay? Adam died in Genesis 5, being mentioned 5 times. He dies in verse 5. Why? Who tempted Adam and Eve? It was the serpent. So Satan's 55 times, he has his 5-point plan of transformation, and he's defeated by only one man. And it wasn't Adam, and it wasn't Moses. Who defeated Satan? Jesus. Yes, you got to see this, okay? You're going to get happy, and you're going to start to understand then the purpose of the number 5 in relation to the rapture, the translation. And here's something, and we're not going to get to it this week, but here's something I want you to think of. Remember, God has a plan for transforming man, saved man, from mortal to immortal. Is there any talk anywhere about humans becoming gods? Humans becoming immortals? Humans curing death. Do you know in the Bible, according to the Bible, it is going to happen. It is Satan's plan of transformation versus God's plan of transformation. And as we're going to see, Jesus' plan always destroys the plans of the devil. So the serpent goes to Adam and Eve. He tries to get Adam and Eve to sin. He offers the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life to Eve, and she fell. So in the New Testament, he tries it with Jesus. And he failed. How did he fail? Matthew chapter 4. Let's look at it. When the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Let me stop right here. Do you know where Jesus is quoting from? He's quoting, number one, from the Bible. Do you know what book? Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You see, Satan has the power of death. How does he have the power of death? He has the power to tempt men to sin. Sin brings death. No sin, no death. So, think about it. Jesus is not having to die on the cross because of his own sins, right? So then, when he dies, who does he die for? Us, who have sinned. And he dies for us so that we can have victory over sin and death. Let's keep reading. Verse 5, "Then the devil taketh him into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus saith unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him into the..." Again, that's from the book of Deuteronomy. "Taketh him into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And I underlined these phrases, and you saw the count there. If you count, if you do it, you do the count, and you'll find that the words that Jesus spoke to the devil came from the fifth book of the Bible, and he uses precisely 55 words in your English King James Bible to defeat the devil, quoting from the fifth verse, and Satan, who's mentioned 55 times. 55 words to beat the devil mentioned 55 times. And oh, by the way, let me throw this in before I quit today. Remember, Satan mentioned 55 times. Christ, look it up, 555 times. 5, 5, 5 in your King James Bible. Isn't that beautiful? Christ conquers Satan, and when Christ conquers Satan, he conquers death. That is so beautiful. So now hopefully it makes, and I'm not done, but now hopefully it makes a little bit more sense for you how that the number 5, even though it clearly points to death, the number 5 then is victory over that death through the cross of Jesus Christ. Christ mentioned 555 times in the King James Bible. I love this. This stuff makes me happy. It makes me happy to know that my Bible is in order. It makes me happy to know and to see these beautiful, wonderful patterns that just come alive. It makes the Bible come alive for you. And then it gives us wisdom, showing us how God works. If God works in this kind of order, what he has done follows this order, then it lets us know that what he will do follows the same order. And I promise you that the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ in the air is going to be associated with this number when he actually does it. We see it in the scriptures, and I believe that we'll see it face to face on the day that it happens. All right? I've got a lot more here to give you, okay? And I'm holding back some of the best for later, next week, when I finish this up. It's not going to take long, but there's a time prophecy in the scriptures related to this number. I've never talked about this in this fashion before. I've mentioned it. I've never really said what I think. But I think our translation, our rapture, is going to be associated with this particular time prophecy. Am I right? We'll see. All right? We'll see. Let God be true, every man a liar. All right? Including me. It's good to be with you today. I wanted to talk about this. I wanted to uplift and glorify the word of the Lord, and I wanted to be a blessing to you this week. All right? Thank you for being a blessing to us. You're the reason why we do what we do. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.